Well, good morning and God bless you in the wonderful name of our risen, living, and soon returning Lord Jesus Christ. Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and in verse 1, we read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So here we're encouraged to bless the Lord. Make him happy. How? Through thankful obedience, starting with remembering his benefits. It's my desire that as I'm sharing today, you too will ponder how God has blessed you and will share snippets of your own afterward. So with this in mind, since not everyone knows me that well, Peg suggested I share my story, my testimony with you. To do so, I thought I'd start by sharing a bit about my background, as well as how God has brought me here today. Well, I grew up on a fairly large farm outside the small town of Graceville, Minnesota, where we raised both grain and livestock. At that time, we farmed about 1,800 acres with wheat, barley, oats, corn, soybeans. So each spring, we'd till the ground, remove rocks that had been thrust out by the spring thaw, and then we'd put down fertilizer to prep the ground for planting. Once the ground was prepped, we'd plant or sow the seed, using the smallest viable tractor so as not to pack down the ground, make it hard, so that the seed would get embedded at the appropriate depth. And then, during the growing season, we'd spray for weeds, etc., and hope for enough, but not too much, rainfall so as to give the crops the best chance to grow and flourish. Then for our livestock, we had about 400 head of cattle, which calved each spring. We'd feed these calves until they were ready for market. We also had 30,000 laying hens, from which we gathered eggs every day, as well as the feeding, cleaning of the barn, etc. And then finally, on a nearby farm, we had 80 sows, which farrowed or gave birth to 3 litters per year. An average litter has about 7 piglets, so roughly 1,700 pigs per year. And like the calves, we also raised these hogs until they were ready to go to market. So with all this going on, I definitely saw the circle of life and had firsthand experience with many of the agricultural examples that Jesus and others used to teach truths in the Bible, i.e. the sower and the seed, awaiting the early and latter rains, etc. To be honest, I really should have marveled at God's design growing up. But although we attended Mass every Sunday, I never spent time in the Bible. So A, I didn't know about the sower and seed, but nor was I, and to my detriment even now, one who pondered or truly pondered the deep things of God. So I missed much potential learning that the Lord could have taught me. So let's go to Proverbs 29. Well, it turned out, enough of the background there, it turned out that farming wasn't a passion, which it has to be in order to do it with all the variables. So I went off to college, eventually working in Minneapolis. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision or God's revelation, the people perish. They wander aimlessly without restraint. But he that keepeth the law, happy or blessed is he. You know, without God's revelation, we wander aimlessly without restraint, and that can expose us to drastic consequences. In my case thus far, although I didn't have a real direction, my life was kind of rolling along the expected path. But life has a way of throwing us curveballs when we fail to fix our eyes on following God's way and his plan for our lives. So at 24, due to a disappointing change in my life, I had to realize it was up to me to decide what my future held. So first, I tried to experience much of Minneapolis's party life that spring, summer, and fall. And although it could be fun, I soon realized it wasn't me. During that time, I also met some people who had attended some quote-unquote prestigious programs and saw it opened doors to opportunities to which I hadn't been exposed. So I considered leaving Minnesota to pursue these programs, but didn't know to where, when, how, or even why. I found myself thinking that nagging question, isn't there more to life than 70 years and a hole in the ground? At that point, I was a bit lost, searching for something deeper, more meaningful. And that's about the time that I met Peg one night at Bennigan's. Then the next day, when she invited me to fellowship that evening, I was a bit hesitant, but I decided to go. And the more I went, the more I enjoyed it, particularly when I took the PFAL class, the Power for Abundant Living class, about four times that year. I realized that God's word had meaning. It could last. And that was a beginning of my life taking on a new trajectory and emphasis. So let's take a look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work for good, to them that love God. You know, I met Peg on Thursday of Holy Week in 1986 and started going to fellowship, attending classes, listening to weekly teachings. Then in September of 87, I quit my job at Honeywell and headed to Bible school at the Way College of Emporia in Kansas. It was a great year of learning God's word. It truly was. And toward the end of it, I was asked if I'd like to enter the Way Corps, class of 89. Which I said, yeah, I would. So it was the summer of 1988, I moved back to the farm working there and ran a small fellowship with a brother in Christ there. I think that's when I first met Donna, my now sister-in-law and mother of Dan and Laura, and her sister, Connie, whom a lot of us know. But that August, I left for the Rock of Ages and after headed to Iowa, Dubuque, Iowa, as a WOW ambassador for my apprentice corps year. At the end of my WOW year, as things unfortunately changed within the Way Ministry, instead of going into the corps, Peg invited me to Virginia. So following the Rock of Ages of 89, I moved to Virginia with Peg and Chris, where we, or I should say God, found us a great home in Reston. And it was in the lower level of 1931 Lake Portway, Reston, that we were blessed to run multiple classes, eventually outgrowing that space. But again, God had a way. A believer, Belva, was the facility manager at Kaiser Permanente in Fair Lakes, Virginia. And since Belva was involved, Kaiser allowed us to transform, literally transform a large training room into our meeting room every Sunday. And it was during our time at Kaiser that 30 years ago, in August of 93, Peg was officially ordained and Light of Christ ministry began. Earlier that year, the owner at 1931 Lakeport sold the house in Reston, so I eventually ended up moving to Oakton, Virginia with a couple other believers, Kim and Maria Vay. And in Oakton, I was running a home fellowship, and this attractive, smart, young Latino was attending our group. When Valentine's Day 1994 was coming around and Peg tasked the men in our fellowship to make sure all the single women were appreciated, taken care of on Valentine's, well, I had no choice but to ask Elena to dinner. Was not long after that, we started dating. Then we got engaged in September and married February 14th of 1995. Please turn to Proverbs 31. So we got married in February of 95, and then soon after, we had three daughters who, primarily due to Elena's tutelage, have blossomed into sweet, capable women. Not only, as I mentioned before, is Elena attractive, sharp in many ways, but she has a wonderful, kind, loving heart. That's obviously the case, as there's no other explanation for her ability to put up with me for 28 plus years. So I had you go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse 10, in honor of my wife here and God's goodness toward me, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you, Elena, excel them all, in my life at least. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So not only with Elena, but God has privileged me to be close to at least four very special women. Obviously my wife Elena, her mom Gloria, our Pego, and my mom Bev Arnes. What a beautiful impact have they each had upon my life. Truly gifts from God to me, for which I am eternally thankful. So let's go back to Psalm 103. In thinking of my mom, some final thoughts in closing which strike me from Psalm 103. Let's start again in verse 1. How can we not? Such a great start. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgive all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Just in those five verses, so many blessings. Yet God doesn't say, remember them all. It's great if we did, but God just says, don't forget them all. Here we had three verses of God's benefits to his kids. Were that not enough? He goes on to list many others here in this psalm. Read and be blessed. I wanted to get to the next section in particular to emphasize a truth and an exhortation. Psalm 103, verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of God is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but I had two brothers and six sisters. And not only do we get along very well even today, I expect to spend eternity with each of them. What a blessing, truly. See, yes, we each take our own decisions regarding God and Jesus Christ. But when I first read Psalm 103, verse 17, I personally, in my mind, credited my mom. Probably God put it on my heart, to be honest. She was faithful with a simple trust in God's goodness and a loving heart. I believe that her faithful played heavily in the fact that her children are all born again. You know, Elena and I have tried to install this virtue in our girls as well. Not tried to force it, but have strongly encouraged it. You know, if a parent doesn't, who will? You know, it's really so important that a parent will take a stand for their kids and do their best to point them in the right direction to know and to love the God who has done so much for all of us. So, only time will tell if it sticks to the end that their faithfulness will impact their children and on down the line so as to perpetuate God's righteousness to my future generations, ideally until Christ returns. So as the closing verse, I want to reiterate Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's a final encouragement to myself and to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So, gracious God, loving Father, we are so thankful for all your goodness that you have shown toward us. Allow us, dear God, help us to remember moment by moment, day by day, all your goodness, all your love, and that not only do we praise and thank you and thank our Lord Jesus Christ for these great gifts, but that we pass them on to our loved ones and to those we meet, that they too may grow to see your goodness, mercy, and love and become part of your royal household, your family in eternity. Thank you so much, Father, for just continuing to bless and protect your people, to cause them to grow and prosper, even in this day and time. In Jesus' name, amen.